Good morning. Welcome to Celebration Church. Let's all stand together as we join our voices in reciting the Apostles' Creed. This is our statement of faith. This is who we are and what we believe. We believe in God, the Father Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth. We believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who for us and for our salvation was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead, and on the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the fellowship of believers, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please remain standing as we pray. Faithful and gracious God, we come before you as we approach the beginning of a new year, grateful that you meet us not with judgment, but with mercy that is new every morning. We thank you for carrying us through the past year, through moments of joy and seasons of struggle, through days of strength and times of weakness. Where we succeeded, we give you praise. Where we failed, we receive your grace. As we stand at the threshold of a new year, we confess that we do not know what lies ahead, but rejoice that you do. Thank you for our future rests not in our plans, but in your steadfast love and unfailing faithfulness. For those who enter this year with hope and excitement, guide their steps and deepen their gratitude. For those who enter it weary, grieving, or uncertain, wrap them in your peace and remind them that they are not alone. For those carrying fear, anxiety, or regret, speak your word of assurance and renewal. Teach us, O Lord, to receive this year as a gift, not as a test that we have to pass, but as an opportunity to walk more closely with you. Shape our hearts more than our schedules. Form our character more than our accomplishments. Give us courage to take faithful steps forward, patience to grow where change comes slowly, and humility to depend on you each day. Help us to trust that even small acts of faithfulness are used by you for great purposes. As a congregation, make us a people marked by grace, quick to forgive, slow to judge, eager to serve, and faithful in love. May our lives reflect the mercy we have received through Jesus Christ, our Savior. We place this new year into your hands, confident that the one who has been faithful in the past will be faithful in the days to come. We offer this prayer with hope and trust in the name of Jesus Christ, who goes before us, walks beside us, and always remains with us. And everyone said, amen. You may be seated. Good to have you here. As Pastor Becky pointed out, we are in the 12 days of Christmas. This is the fourth day of Christmas. You know the song, right? On the first day of Christmas. A lot of people think that's the countdown to Christmas. It's not. Actually, Christmas Day is the first day of Christmas. And then historically, they would celebrate it for 12 days, which would be nice if people actually did that, slow down a little bit. Though as Americans, we build up to the first day of Christmas, and then it's over. That's it. Really, it's supposed to be 12 days of celebrating. Relax, enjoy it. And everybody said, amen. There you go. This morning's text, Lamentations, Old Testament, chapter 3, verse 22. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Every new year places us on a threshold. Behind us is a year filled with moments we cherish and moments we would rather forget. Ahead of us is a year we cannot see. Some of us enter this new year with excitement. Some enter it tired. Others hopeful, some are cautious, some sadly are grieving, some simply relieved that we made it through the last year. And into that space, into our mixed emotions, unanswered questions, and uncertain future, God speaks a word of grace. My mercies are new, not recycled, not secondhand, not dependent on how well you performed last year, new. God's mercy is not limited by the calendar. It's important to remember where Lamentations was written. These words were not spoken in a season of success. They were spoken in a season of loss. Jerusalem had fallen. The people were displaced. The future looked very uncertain. And yet, in the middle of devastation, the writer declares, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. God's mercy did not wait for circumstances to improve. God's faithfulness did not depend on a fresh start. This means something important to us today. God does not wait till January 1st to renew his grace. Every morning is a reset. Every day begins with mercy, already waiting. You don't have to clean yourself up first. You don't have to prove anything. You simply wake up and mercy is there. The new year is not a test, it's a gift. The world tells us that the new year is about pressure, new goals, new habits, new expectations, new resolutions. And while growth is good, too often we treat new year as some kind of performance review. We ask, will I do better? Will I finally fix what's been broken? Will I measure up this time? But the scriptures offers us a different vision. The new year is not a test you have to pass. It's a gift that God gives us. A gift of time, a gift of opportunity, a gift of grace. The psalmist wrote in the 90th Psalm, teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Now, oftentimes when we read, you know, number our days, we think, count to how many I got left before I'm dead. That's not the context. How many days we have that we can continue to grow and learn and gain a heart of wisdom. Numbering our days is not about fear, it's about gratitude. Every day we're given is evidence that God is not finished with us. God's faithfulness is greater than our failures, hallelujah. One of the hardest parts of a new year is memory. We remember promises we didn't keep, opportunities we missed, words we regret, relationships that broke. Sometimes we wonder, can God really work in the middle of all of this? The answer from the scriptures, of course, is a resounding yes. God is great. Great is your faithfulness. Notice the verse does not say, great is our consistency. Great is our discipline. Great is our success. It says, God's faithfulness is great. The future does not rest on your performance. Thank God. It rests on God's character. And God has a long history of working with imperfect people. Moses was a murderer. David was an adulterer. Peter denied Jesus right in front of Jesus. Paul persecuted the church. He was responsible for the imprisonment and death of Christians. Speaking of persecution, we often reflect and celebrate the courage of early Christians, but they weren't all that way. We don't hear about it. We don't think about it because it's not something to celebrate. But a lot of people turned their backs on Jesus in the middle of that persecution. From the first to the fourth century, being a Christian could cost you your property, your freedom, your family, your life. During periods of persecution, especially under the Roman emperors, many Christians verbally denied Jesus, were forced to offer sacrifices to Roman gods, which they did. Some even signed certificates stating they had renounced Christianity. And the question came up, can those who denied Jesus be forgiven? Well, the clearest example comes from Scripture itself. Peter denied Jesus three times. He did so out of fear. Jesus later forgave him and restored him. But he didn't just get restored. He became a leader in the church. So did Paul, the massive apostle. This man was responsible for horrendous things to Christians. And he becomes, really, we'd argue, the greatest apostle. He wrote the majority of the New Testament that we read today. This set a powerful precedent in the church. Major early church debate was over the fact, can those who deny Jesus now come back to church? And the answer was yes. But think about this. Your children were slaughtered before your eyes, lying in an early grave. Now another guy who denied Jesus comes back to church with his family. How would you feel? You don't think that bothered you? You don't think you would be bitter and angry? They weren't. How would you handle that? You think you'd forgive a family who returned their with their children where your children lay in an early grave? Some of you are mad just because somebody didn't send you a Christmas card. Some of you are angry over some of the smallest, dumbest offenses. Think about a family. They were all mad and quit talking to each other because someone broke the tradition of making sure that everybody received a fruitcake that year. They won't talk to each other. Oh my gosh. I just talked to a guy a couple of days ago. They have an uncle and an aunt who was angry with them because they had invited them to the house for a dinner or whatever, told them don't bring anything. But they thought, oh, we should bring something, so they brought chips and salsa. They were furious and wouldn't forgive them. The worst part of the story is it happened 25 years ago. Still mad about chips and salsa. You know, as Christians, like, we don't get it. The most fundamental thing in Christianity is we have to forgive people. It's not optional for us. Every time we pray the Lord's Prayer, we give God permission not to forgive us if we don't forgive somebody else. Oh, it doesn't say that. Yes, it does. We just quoted it. It's we read about it in Matthew, the 6th chapter, starting at verse, 12. And forgive us our debts as we have forgiven others. And then he goes on, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. I've had people argue with me, that's not what it means. God will not forgive me if I don't. Really? Because let's read what Jesus said. Verse 13 says, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. The very next words out of Jesus' mouth are these. For if you forgive people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive yours. Good night. Do you have a clue what that means? You go into eternity without your sins forgiven, it's a bad day for you. And you're going to risk that over a fruitcake? Over chips and salsa? The fact that your ex is an idiot? They're all idiots, right? Your in-laws? Your mother-in-law who criticizes the way you clean? You're mad and bitter and won't forget. What are we thinking? We had a pastor who was asked to do a wedding in the Appleton area. And the family requested, as part of the wedding, would you have us all recite the Lord's Prayer? He forgot. We got this letter. They're so angry. And they literally said, we will never forgive you for not saying the Lord's Prayer. You mean the prayer that says we have to forgive you? Honestly, I don't think people think. They just react. Concerning people who returned to the church later after they publicly denied the Lord, Christian leaders like Cyprian of Carthage taught those who denied Christ could return to the church. The church's role was healing, not permanent exclusion. He famously said, the church is a hospital for sinners, not a museum for saints. Early Christians believed grace is stronger than shame. The church exists to restore the fallen. How are you going to feel on that day when you see someone whose family had been murdered, loving some whose family stayed together because they denied Jesus and forgave them? But you're still mad about some little piddly thing. Look, I get it. Some people, they really struggle with forgiveness. But you need to take this seriously. If you're having a hard time forgiving someone, you need to get on your knees and pray that God help me to forgive them. I'm so angry. Help me to forgive them because it's not optional for us. back to the new year. New doesn't always mean easy. We need to be honest. A new year doesn't automatically mean less pain, fewer challenges, or immediate answers. Faith is not pretending everything will be smooth, but faith does believe God will be present. Jesus said, recorded in Matthew 28:20, I am with you always. God does not promise us a trouble-free year. He promises a never-alone year. New mercies don't remove every hardship. They give us what we need to walk through the hardships. Strength for the day, peace for the moment, grace for the journey. And remember, God often works gradually, not dramatically. We love dramatic stuff, right? But most spiritual growth happens quietly. A small step of obedience, a habit of prayer, a softened heart, a slow healing. The prophet Zechariah wrote these words, do not despise the day of small things. This year, God will probably not overhaul your life overnight. But he may teach you more patience. He might teach you to deepen your trust in him. He might shape your character, strengthen your faith, help you to forgive someone you won't forgive. And one day you'll look back and realize you're not who you once were. You know, I talk to people, sometimes I've been a Christian for a while, and they struggle with their mistakes, because we all have mistakes, right? And they think God's angry at them. And I say, well, what were you like 5 years ago, 10 years ago? Oh, I'm really different now. Well, ta-da, that's the point. He's changing us. Here's a better question to ask for the new year. Instead of asking, what do I want to accomplish? What do I want to commit? What promises do I want to make for the next year? A better question might be, who is God asking me to become? More loving, more patient, more faithful, more trusting, more generous, more forgiving. Spiritual formation matters more than achievement. Paul wrote, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Let God change the way you think. Read your Bibles. A lot of us struggle from stinking thinking. It's old habits of thinking over and over. Change the way you think and it'll change you on the inside. God is interested in shaping your heart. And the good news is Jesus is already in the next year. One of the most comforting truths of faith is this: God is already present in the days we have not yet lived. The year ahead is unknown to us, but not to God. Something happens that might shock you. God doesn't go, oh, myself, I didn't see that coming. He knows what's coming. He's already there. Christ goes before us. Christ walks beside us. Christ carries us when needed. Hebrews 13:8, great verse in the Bible. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That means the grace that sustained us last year will sustain us this year, and the next year, and the next year. So how should we enter this new year? Not with fear, not with pressure, not with despair, but with open hands, receiving God's mercy, God's faithfulness, God's presence. This next year does not need a perfect you. It needs a trusting you. And the good news is this: God's mercies are already waiting for you one day at a time. Life, at times, can be very difficult. Don't be discouraged when life goes south for you in this coming year. Hopefully, it doesn't. But for most of us, at some point, it will. You know, something you hope for doesn't happen. Something you expect doesn't come to pass. Some mistake you thought you'd never do, you wind up doing. Most shocking of all is the Bears will beat us. That's a hard day to recover from. I don't even want to think about last night, oh Lord. So let us step into this year not alone, not anxious, not defeated, but confident in God's faithfulness. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. That means it never stops. Great is his faithfulness. Amen. So now we're going to receive grace as we take communion. This is when we reflect on this wonderful gift that we've been given, forgiveness through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on that cross 2,000 years ago. His body was broken so we could be made whole. His blood was shed so we could have forgiveness of sins. This is a wonderful moment as we reflect at the Lord's table. But the Bible says before we do this, we should reflect, examine our own hearts. So with those words in mind, let's bow our heads as I pray a prayer of forgiveness over all of us. Heavenly Father, before we take of the bread and the cup this morning, and in obedience to the scriptures, we pause to examine ourselves. If we have sinned against you in thought, word, or deed, something we did that we shouldn't have done, if we've not loved you with our whole heart, if we've not loved our neighbors as ourselves, if we've been filled with regret, if we've been filled with unforgiveness, for the sake of your beloved Son, Jesus, who gave himself as a sacrifice for our sins, have mercy on us and forgive us of all of our sins. Strengthen us, and by the power of your Holy Spirit, keep us in eternal life, that we might delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your name. And as heads are bowed and people are reflecting, maybe you're here this morning thinking, you know, I'm not in a good place. I've been filled with bitterness and unforgiveness. Now just let that stuff go. Just let it go. Ask God to help you to let it go. And maybe you're here thinking, you know, I've never really experienced any of this that you guys are talking about. You can right now. In your own words, just whisper to Jesus. Say, Jesus, please come into my life. Forgive me of my sins. Heal my soul and my heart. Amen.